We're here at the start of another new year, and we need this week and next week to sort of ground ourselves in the important things that are in each of our lives. And we start with worship, worship of God. Let's be still, let's come before God in our prayers. Let us pray. God of all time, we praise and adore you for breaking into the darkness of this world with the glorious light of your presence. A light which made your love for the world visible in the babe born in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. A light which guided those gift-bearing travelers from afar to find and worship the Christ child. A light which leads us to you, now revealed in Jesus Christ. So for those who seek a Savior, we then lead them to the stable, to the one who was born, to bring freedom, to bring forgiveness, to bring liberty. For those who seek assurance, we lead them to the light, to the one who opens eyes to understanding God's word, truth. And for those who seek forgiveness, we lead them to a grace beyond comprehension, to wholeness, to healing, to peace. Holy God, in this moment, we bring ourselves in our worship. We bring ourselves to the stable as the Magi went before us. But find your grace is sufficient for us all, and you have been found coming amongst us. Bless each one of us here. Bless this congregation and this community with that incarnate presence, that grace that abounds, that abundant, extravagant love, that as we embark on this new year, on the responsibilities that we each have, we may find you in the midst of all that we do. So bless each one richly, we ask, with your holy presence, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now, I know a lot has happened over this period. We have had Christmas, of course, and the New Year. And apparently, just before Christmas, we had a general election. Sorry to remind you of such things, but we did. And we voted in effectively a new government. And Boris Johnson is now Prime Minister. I wonder. Let's just assume that this is the seat of power, the chair of authority. And if you sit in that chair, you can dictate anything you like. It's your choice. As we embark on a new year, we have any choice that we like, one wish that we can make. Anybody prepared to sit in the chair of power, the chair of authority, and have one wish that they want for this next year. And if you're not brave enough to come and sit in the chair, anybody? Peace throughout the world, said two people almost in union there. Peace. Okay. Anything else that we want in the seat of power? You have the authority. Social justice. Justice that impacts on not an elite, but a wider group of people. In fact, bringing justice for all. Banished all armed services, the armed forces, and put the efforts that we have there into other things. We're not here to sort of dictate one or the other, or say one's good and one's bad. This is you having your power, and you can make a difference in the seat. Anything else? Nobody's prepared to actually sit in the seat. Yes, Joan. Just in case you didn't hear that, for the spread of our faith and for more people know the love of God. For persecuted Christians to have relief in the difficult places that they find themselves. Weird thing is, oh, she's coming. Well done, sister. Brace yourself. It might feel powerful. One moment. Now that you're sat in here, you get the microphone.
I just remembered Michael Mayer, and I think if he was here, he would walk up, sit down, and say, revival.
Thank you. Claim it, sister. Thing is, this chair is your chair. You sat in it. You sat in the same chair as this. And as we embark on another new year and endeavor to try and follow our Lord, then we have the power. We can make the difference. And it's our response in the choices that we make on a daily basis that can bring change, social justice, hope into those difficult, dark places. So as we go through this service, we're going to make not promises, but orientate our lives in the right direction and say, what is important for me? And what is important for me because I am part of this faith group and because I am a follower of Jesus Christ? And perhaps, as a result of that, we may have power to bring about change within this world. We're going to take the offertory now, and in response to God's love for work of God in this church, community, and world. So, loving Lord, we bring our gifts of money, and with them we bring ourselves. May each be acceptable in your sight. And as the gifts came from the Magi to the Christ child, may we bring our gifts to bring about your kingdom here on earth today and allow the story of Christmas to be real in each of our lives. Amen. The young people are going to leave us now for their groups. We've got a select little band this morning. I can only see one. You're not going out? That's fine. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Gracie,
I'm sorry, you're going to have to listen to me for the next period. I'm really sorry. We're going to hear words of scripture now from Jeremiah.
Reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 to 14. I'm reading from the New International Version, but you can find the passage on page 791 of your pew Bibles. This is what the Lord says: sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, Lord, save our people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers, and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water, on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, you nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will deliver Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy in the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then young women will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord.
Wonderful message from Jeremiah. That sense of the remnant is picked out clearly within that text, but that sense also of out of sorrow comes hope and dancing effectively. And we have to be careful that when we read a text like that, that we don't misunderstand it, because it's not a superficial joy, a short-lived joy, but it's a sense of we get it in Romans 8 as well, that despite the circumstances, we still have peace. Despite the sort of sorrow and mourning, we can still have joy. And that was clearly put across in those words of Jeremiah. Here, our gospel passage from Matthew's gospel now.
Reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. The visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Tomorrow is Epiphany, so you have to, in theory, have all your decorations down by tomorrow and pack them away for another year. It's the last chapter of the Christmas story, the new story of Christmas every year. It is. I intend to focus in on Epiphany today, but it also happens to be the season of New Year resolutions, of making promises that we have, the New Year resolutions that may already have been broken. I know what it's like, the reality of these promises that you make, and I make as well. It may not show it, but I've put a pound or two on over the last few weeks, because like Tony, I had an operation on Monday and I can't exercise quite the same, and so I put half a stone on. So I've said to myself, I'm going to go on a diet to get back to optimum fighting weight. So no more chocolates. But it would be daft to throw away that half box of chocolates that we have in the cupboard, wouldn't it? Some of you, I know you're true Methodists here, and this would not apply to you, but some of your friends and acquaintances may say, "Well, I've had too much drink over the Christmas period, and so I am going to have a dry January." But one little glass of red wine with my spaghetti bolognese won't matter, will it? Because a little bit is good for you after all. And The other classic that we do at this time of the year is say, I must exercise more. And gym membership goes up in January compared to other times of the year. But does buying some new trainers and new outfit classes exercise? Or do you have to actually do it? So you've got all those, in some ways, trivial things that we think about at this time of the year, of the promises that we make to ourselves that we must do better. And next week, you at Wanford will join together with other Christians, Methodists, and other denominations besides across the land, who at the start of January will make their covenant promises between you and God. Significant questions that you ask of yourselves. Now, whilst the main thrust of what I want to say today is about Epiphany, I also hope that it serves as a preamble to your covenant questions and promises that you will make next week. So let's look at that text from Matthew's Gospel. In some ways, this narrative slots more easily into Luke's account of the Christmas story than it does of Matthew's, with its more Gentile readership. You know, each gospel has got a different subtle emphasis, and that's certainly true. Matthew was predominantly writing to a Jewish audience. But certainly seeing Jesus as the new Moses and the new David resonates with that understanding that we see in Matthew's Gospel. But here in the text that we've had from Matthew 2, what we have is something of the universality of the gospel message, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world, representatives of that otherworldness come as the conclusion of our Christmas story with the visit of the Magi. Date non-specific, but that representation of those from other places. There is no exclusivity to the Messiah here. Instead, it is an abundance for all that is portrayed. So let's dive into that word, epiphany. It's a strange old word, and see if anything relates to Methodists here and across the land who also consider covenant at this time of the year. Now, often, I don't know if the preachers out there do this also, often when I come across a word like that, sometimes the first protocol is actually the dictionary to understand what a word means in its root, because it's a word that perhaps we don't often use, or it's not standard stuff. And when you look at the word epiphany, there's two basic meanings. One, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles as represented by the Magi. So epiphany is the story of the Magi coming to Jesus. That's one meaning of it. The second meaning is a moment of sudden and great revelation or realization. So both of those entries are relevant for where we find ourselves today. The story itself and what it means for us as a people. First off, Epiphany is not the tag-on festival of Christmas that marks the end of proceedings. It is not simply the last element of the pageant of Christmas, placing the three nativity characters in their rightful place next to the shepherds. We We've had a nativity set out at the Mint this year, about 25 of them dispersed around the church from various places and countries, and the variety is there. But we see this depiction of those magi shown in each of them. We don't know whether there were 1, 2, 3, or 33 magi. It's non-specific within the text. All we know is that there are three gifts that they bring. And equally, it's an aside really from what I'm wanting to say, but a better interpretation of the Greek would be astrologers rather than kings. But let's not worry too much about that. We don't need to name them or guess what their names were, or particularly worry about too much about what the gifts actually mean. But in some cultures, Epiphany is the significant day in the Christian Christmas year. In some places, children receive their gifts on Epiphany. Can you imagine if some kids had to wait until Epiphany to receive their gifts? Not a chance. So there's no rotund, red, jolly man dressed in red. But they leave their shoes outside with hay. The hay is fodder for the Magi's camels. The Magi leave gifts in return before they resume their journey to Bethlehem. Quite different emphasis to what we have ourselves. So let's just revisit the dictionary definition here. It is the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles as represented by the Magi. Whilst it might be helpful to think on those magi, the important part is to see the manifestation of Christ. The manifestation of Christ. Prior to this point, certainly within Matthew's account, the only people who knew of the birth were Mary and Joseph. This is the point within the narrative, within the story, that the world begins to hear. It becomes public. The Magi become the first evangelists. So the manifestation of Christ is the significant part, not the Magi themselves. Although the very fact that they are foreigners has some gravitas. And then we move to the second definition from the dictionary, which has relevance now. A moment of sudden, great revelation or realization. That second meaning is not specific to a single moment in time, but relates to any moment of revelation, an epiphany moment, we say, when fresh insight is given. Now, whether it relates to the first meaning or the second or both, there are other epiphany moments that are marked within the Bible. It's not unique to this moment, such as the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop, points in time where heaven and earth are present and the veil that divides them is negligible. Moments where revelation came to those who were present such that they were able to glimpse heaven and earth in that moment, such that they were never the same again. It was transformational for their lives. They could never walk in the same way again. I wonder if our ability to witness epiphany moments is dependent on our perspective. The contrast between Herod and the Magi is played out within this gospel. Below the age of 2. Am I all right here? Yep. Now maybe it's an aside, but there is no additional source that backs this up. Even Josephus, the Jewish historian who records many of the atrocities of Herod, does not mention this. But be that as it may, we do know that Herod was someone in power who was not afraid. Shall we move to this one? Okay. Herod was not one afraid to wield power or the sword for his own gain or benefit. The thought that his power or his offspring's authority was in question, he acted swiftly to resolve the matter. His priority was himself. He looked after number one. He navel-gazed and couldn't see beyond his own shadow. There's one example of somebody that the Matthew's Gospel presents to it. Herod, thinking about himself, thinking about his power, using every situation to sort of keep that power. In contrast, the Magi are considered to be people that study the stars in search of wisdom beyond themselves. The Magi represented, certainly within this story, that saw revelation as something that came from beyond themselves. So in contrast to Herod, the Magi looked up and beyond their moment, themselves. So as you reflect and prepare to pray that covenant prayer next week, I suppose we have to ask ourselves, do we approach it as Herod did or as the Magi do? Do we think, what's in it for me? What do I have to give up? What can I relinquish as a result of this? Or do we think, as a result of approaching it as the Magi do, I can broaden my horizons, I can see the stars that are beyond myself, and I can offer my life as a servant of the Divine One. The Herod approach has as its world the parameters of the shadow, and therefore when it approaches a prayer such as the covenant prayer, it approaches it with trepidation. It represents a threat to the tradition of my own life. This is the one option to take, but the consequence of this are the parameters of our knowledge and world are not extended. As a result, the experience of 2019 is the experience of 2020. Be one and the same, because we've only got the parameters of what we know thus far to work upon. In contrast, the Magi approach doesn't have any parameters or boundaries. Approaching the covenant prayer this time provides opportunities. Our horizon is no longer defined by what we can see or what we have personally experienced, but we can see far off stars and find epiphany moments in strange and foreign lands. Prompts me to interject here with the other task that you're involved in next week, the conversation on marriage and relationships that has brought fear and trepidation to many within the church. I would like to encourage you to approach it as the Magi did, not as Herod did, because we could come to it with that sense of, I've got to defend my position. But instead, please listen to each other. Listen to the wisdom that is in the room when you have those conversations. And you may have fresh revelation, whatever stance you have at the moment. So just to sort of round this up, the words from the Matthew's Gospel, verses 10 and 11, are telling for me. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Perhaps the only message of Epiphany and contrasting between Herod and the Magi is the invitation to walk expectantly. For to those that seek, to those that are open, Epiphany happens. Therefore, walk expectant into covenant and beyond, and allow the revelation of God to be experienced today. Amen. We're going to turn to our prayers now, and after the bidding, Lord, come to your people, if you could respond, in your mercy, set us free. Lord, come to your people, in your mercy, set us free. Let us pray. Unlooked for, Christ comes. To shepherds watching their sheep through the long dark night, he comes with the glory of the angel's song and in the humility of the manger. Loving God, we pray for the community here in Wanford and Exeter. In the midst of our everyday lives, surprise us with glimpses of the glorious. Allow us in our daily choices, in the interactions that we have with those around us, to allow the light to shine. Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free. Searched for, Christ comes. To the wise and powerful, star-led to Bethlehem, seeking a king. He comes, child of Mary, crowned with meekness, worthy of every gift. Loving God, we pray for the leaders of the world. Guide them with your light to the true wisdom of justice and peace, of freedom and respect for every human life. Lord, may justice prevail and take away those that are saber wielders, those that abuse power, and bring about a peace that is of value to all. Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free. longed for Christ comes to Anna and Simeon, whose days are lived in faithful expectation. He comes a new life to the old, a living prophecy of hope. Loving God, we pray for the church in all the world. Unite us by your Spirit and make us faithful witnesses to the hope we have in you. And as we get ever closer to the week of prayer for Christian unity, help us not just to pay lip service to those relationships, but through our commonality, through our working together, may your holy name be praised. Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free. Prayed for, Christ comes. To men and women, girls and boys, crying out in darkness, pain and loneliness, he comes baptized at one with us, our Saviour, our healer and friend. So, loving God, we pray for those whose lives are hard and painful, or whose existence is sorrowful, bitter or empty. We pray for those caught up in the fires in Australia. We also pray for those that don't make the headlines but daily suffer. Those who are marginalized by the location of where they were born. Those who struggle to find the next meal. In their need, may they know your healing touch, reaching out to comfort, strengthen, and restore. Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free. Unlooked for and searched for, longed for and prayed for, loving God, you come to us. As you have come to your people in every age, we thank you for all who have reflected the light of Christ. Help us to follow their example and bring us with them to eternal life. For we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.